everybody.
One second, here we go. Hey Ador, Tuesday the 20th of February, Rabbi Yankee Wiesenfeld, Matis Yahu Ben Yochanan, episode 2.
Bessel Shalom Aleichem everybody, it's good to be back. I want to offer you, before I start the shiur, in fact this is the hakdama to my introduction, but before I start the shiur I just want to offer you a private kashrus alert. I was on a plane back from America yesterday, and we were served a meal which came with a very, very good heksher and a long tzettel saying all the chumras and all the hidurim that were involved in the kashrus of this meal, and we got a chicken meal. And together with the hot chicken meal came a pita bread. This is the pita bread, okay? And it said about the pita bread, first of all, the pita bread itself has got a hechsher. But besides that, it said in the tzettel, in the piece of paper that came with it, that we want people to be advised that this pita bread was baked with fruit juice. There are different opinions in the poskim about whether or not it's a bezoinus or it is hamoitzi, and therefore everybody should follow the ruling of their rabbi. Which I thought was very good. So this is like glut the mahadrim and the mahadrim. Yeah? The only thing is that they didn't say whether or not there was any shaila as to whether or not anybody holds that you can eat this tub of cream cheese with it, which came on the tray with a plastic meal. So all I'm saying is that by the time we got served the meal, yeah, we left at about 5 in the evening. We got the meal about 7 in the evening. Some people had already taken their sleeping pills because they're planning to go to sleep. You know, planning to sleep the night, etc., etc. You have to be vigilant. You have to be vigilant because a mistake can happen. Pardon? This is Mishas Chaliva cheese. Mishas Chaliva cheese. It was probably supposed to be a tub of non-dairy butter, non-dairy spread or something like that. The airline was British Airways. I'm not saying who the hechsher was because I'm going to email them later. Alright, and I'll see what they have to say. But clearly it's a mistake. Somebody put a tub of cheese inside a Fleischig meal.
Inside a sealed meal.
Inside the tray that came with the meal. The sealed meal is a hot meal, that's on its own, that's in a separate tray, the hot part. But in the cold part that came with it, right, which had the cake with it, and they had the bread and the cutlery and all the rest of it, this came inside. It's clearly a mistake, right, but mistakes can happen, you have to be vigilant, just be careful.
Yeah, the problem is with the caterer, not with the supplier, because the caterer sends them cold setups and hot setups. And if somebody takes the wrong setups, then that's a problem.
Yeah, it could be.
The caterer didn't make a mistake.
It could be that we got a breakfast tray with a Fleischig meal.
Yes, that's right.
That's possible.
Was it in London?
No, it wasn't. No, it was based in America.
Moving
Berkeley. Okay, let's move on to the shiur. That was just Agav, I thought you'd be interested. On the way back from America to London.
America.
Yeah. Okay, the Shias Leila Nishmas of Imori, my father is a friend of Rocha Reb Yisrof and Reb Yaakov. His sixth Yortzeit was on Chofei Shvat, and my mother-in-law, Olea Sholem, a Chavadvore Basimcha Yisrael, whose Yortzeit was on Chof Zayin Shvat. That was her fifth Yortzeit. And this Livud today should be Le'ilu Nishmoso. We learn, Purim's coming up, so we learn from Esther, Goloim Adova B'Shem Orimor, as maybe Gulo Lo'ilom. That one should say things over in the name of those who said them. So I want to express here my thanks to Rabbi Avrumi Heksher. Rabbi Avrumi Heksher gave a shiur here on the seventh day of Chanukah about Matis Yor Ben Yochanan. We say, B'mei Matis Yor Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And in fact, he said at the time that it was a pity because he didn't really, he gave various sforas one way or another. The shaila was, when it says, Matis Yohu Ben Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, is it talking about Matis Yor? The reference to Kohen Gadol, when it speaks about the Kohen Gadol, is that Matis Yor Ben Yochanan? But Matis Yor was the Kohen Gadol. Or was it Matis Yohu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol? But Lavdavka, maybe Matis Yor himself wasn't. And we'll be discussing this in a bit more detail soon. But he said it was a pity that he was asked to speak on the seventh day of Chanukah, because by then we'd already said Bimei Matisyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol for the first 7 days of Chanukah already. So there was only one more day in which we could say Bimei Matisyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and there was only one more day basically that we could think about it and be concerned and not know whether or not it's Matisyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol or whether it's Matisyo Kohen Gadol or Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So he only gave us one day of Sofik instead of having the whole of Chanukah of Sofik. And he said that's a pity, but the truth is that even though he spoke on the seventh day of Chanukah, actually that discussion has carried on since then. I've had discussions with other people about it, and as we're going to discuss, that's why I called the Shir Matisyo Ben Yochanan 2, version 2, or extend. This is the sequel to his Shir, if you like. I'm not on his level of learning, and I don't stand here as giving a sequel to Shir. I'm just adding on to the things that he says, and to the things that he said, because we've discussed it further, and we have actually found it in Parshas Shmos, I found it in Parshas Beshalach, I found it in Hilchas Tubashvat, that I actually discussed already from here, and B'leidu will discuss these things further, just to say that the India that he discussed on Chanukah, Matisyo Ben Yochanan, continues onwards. So I want to thank Rabbi Avromi Heksher for giving the shir in Torah way, and Torah way bichlal, because that's the schus that we have of today's shir. He was the springboard, he was the catalyst. Let me share with you a little anecdote. On the 10th of January this year, I chaired a chasna. The chosum was Yitzi Ross, and the kala was Dina Lerner, and I was asked to chair as a good friend. It was a beautiful wedding. Reich was the caterer, Asaf was the music, too loud, but otherwise excellent. showing my age, that's what they say. Shlomo Gettner was the singer, Yanky Wiesenfeld was the chairman, only the best would do. We'll come back to this in a minute. Okay? I had the honour to introduce Rabbi Moshe Halpin Shliter. Yeah, Rabbi Moshe Halpin is the son of Rav Elchanan Halpin Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, the Rav of Beis HaMedrash Beis Shmuel, otherwise known as Reb Chunas. Yeah, and I beseech the people in my introduction to Rabbi Moshe, and I said, please show him the Kovod HaTorah that he deserves, show the Divrei Torah the Kovod HaTorah that they deserve. I remained silent during the Rav's Drosha, but unfortunately they took very little notice. Now, the question is, did anybody have any difficulty understanding any element of that story? Is everything clear and understood or not? I just told you a little story. Is anything, what I told you about that was the chairman and the music, and Moshe was the speaker, etc.
What?
Yeah. Who did I mean the best? Okay, that's a good one.
You said they didn't listen.
What? They didn't listen, and? So what?
Your shadows are Moshe Ben Rabchon.
Right, we'll come into it. Okay, so let me ask you. I said as follows. I said, I chaired the wedding of Yitzi Ross and Dina Lerner because I was asked to be a chairman as a good friend. Am I a friend of the Rosses or am I a friend of the Lerners? That was in the first sentence. Take the second. Could be both. Or both, maybe, yeah? Second sentence. It was a beautiful wedding. Reich Ketra, Asaf the music, Gettner, the singer, Wiesenfeld, the chairman. Only the best will do. Does that go on Wiesenfeld only? Which probably is the logical thing that most people would assume. Or does it go on all the things that I discussed earlier? Or maybe on the first one, on the middle one, whatever. Okay, and then I said, I had the honor to introduce Rav Moshe Halpin, the son of Rav Chunan Halpin, the Rav of Rav Chunas. So is Rav Moshe Halpin the Rav of Rav Chunas? Did I say Rav Moshe Halpin, who is the Rav of Rav Chunas, who happens to be the son of Rav Chunan? Or did I mean Rabbi Moshe Halpin, who is the son of Rabbi Elchanan, who was the Rav of Reb Chunas? So was I talking about Rabbi Moshe, or was I talking about Rabbi Elchanan? And finally, I asked the men and the women to show Kovod HaTorah and to remain silent during the Rav's Drosha, but they didn't listen. Is that the men didn't listen or the women didn't listen? Yeah? Or none of them listened. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so this is really our discussion. Okay, this is our discussion. When you have an adjective or you have a verb following two names, are you referring to the first one or are you referring to the second one? So just briefly to recap on what he said, and I'm going to do it very, very simply so that everybody can quite easily remember what we're doing, and then we'll follow it through to the extra examples which have arisen after his shir. Okay? He brought the halacha from Shulchan Aruch in Choshe Mishpot, Hilchas Halvor, Simen Mem Tes. The halacha is that if I, Yaki Wiesenfeld, have a shtar in my hand, I have an IOU from somebody called Yosef ben Shimon, saying that Yosef ben Shimon owes me £1,000. Then I could go to Yosef ben Shimon in town, and I can say to him, you owe me £1,000, pay me. Let's make it very simple and very clear. The assumption here is that the only way in which I could prove my debt is the shtar. I've got a valid shtar, it's been mekuy ben bezdin, it's got all the hidurim that I need, it's a valid shtar, let's not assume about there's any other way of proving who owes me any money. Just the shtar, let's look at the shtar alone. So if I have a Yosef ben Shimon, I can go to Yosef ben Shimon, and I can say, your name is Yosef ben Shimon, my name is Jacob Wieserfeld, this shtar proves that you owe me £1,000, he has to pay me, I can take him to Bezdin, and the Bezdin will bust on my side. What happens if there are two Yosef ben Shimons in town? And I'm relying on this shtar. So I go to Yosef ben Shimon number one and I say, pay me. He says, not me, it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. I go to number two, he says, it's the other one. Then both of them could deny that they are the Yosef ben Shimon in the shtar. And Hamoitzi Mechaver, Oliver, I cannot prove. If I've got no other way of proving, apart from the shtar, that the money is owing to me, then I get nothing. I said, no other way of proving it, just the shtar. Let's make it simple. There are edim on the shtar. I'm saying, I can't get the edim. I'm saying, there's no other way. We're relying purely on the shtar. I don't want to complicate it, but obviously, if there's any other way which I could prove my case, then I can call other edim. I can call, you know, there might be other ways of proving a case. There may be CCTV, I don't know. Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're saying where the shtar is the thing that will prove my case. So if there are two Yosef ben Shimons in town, I can't do anything with a shtar. The shaila that's brought down in the Ramor, which comes from the Rashba, is what happens if the shtar says Yosef ben Shimon shlita. Sheyichya la'orech yomim tovim omein. That I'm giving a brocha to the person who I'm mentioning there, that he should live forever, the Rabbi Shlomo should be mezakeh him with chayim aruchim. Yosef ben Shimon shlita. Now in that... Oh, and one other thing is that at the date of the loan, only one Shimon was alive. One Yosef ben Shimon had a father. One Yosef ben Shimon didn't have a father. One Shimon had died. So now it works as follows. If I say that the Shlita, which is written at the end, refers back to the Yosef, because Yosef is the subject of the document, it's Yosef that I'm writing about, then... I'm stuck, because there are two Yosefs who are alive. The Yosef could have referred to either of them, and therefore I've still got no way of claiming my money. If, on the other hand, I say pshat is, that the way I understand Yosef ben Shimon Shlita is, that it's Yosef ben, Shimon Shlita, Shimon may he live forever, then there was only one Shimon Shlita alive at the time of the loan. And therefore, I can say, you're not the Yosef ben Shimon, because your father was dead at the time, your father was alive at the time, therefore you're the Yosef ben Shimon Shlita, you're the Yosef, the son of Shimon who was alive, who I gave a blessing to, that your father should live forever. There is, pardon?
It's got to fall off the Yosef.
You say it's got to, okay. So the Beis Yosef, okay. There's a Rishon and an Achron, right? The Beis Yosef, well, let's call him a Rishon, and Charlie Bloom, who's the Achron, right? They hold... that it has to fall on the Yosef. And the easy way to remember this, it's a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Ramor, and the easy way for you all to remember this, the easy way that I remember it is, the Beis Yosef, it's called the Beis Yosef, Reb Yosef Karo, holds that it goes on the Yosef. Right? The Yosef ben Shimon. Also, the Beis Yosef was before the Ramor, because the Beis Yosef was born in 1488, and the Ramor was born in 1503, I think I wrote it down. Anyway, I'll check in a minute. Yeah, that he was born in 1530, sorry. Yeah, so therefore the Beis Yosef who was earlier goes on the earlier name. So therefore the Beis Yosef says that Yosef ben Shimon Shlita means that Yosef is the person we're speaking about. The brocha that was given to this loive was that you should live forever so that you can pay me back one day. And therefore the Shlita goes on the Yosef. Whereas the Ramah says, no. He could have written, if his intention was to give the brocha to Yosef, he could have written Yosef Shlita ben Shimon. He could have written, if he was referring to Shlita, if he wanted to give the brocha to the loiva, he could have written Yosef Shimon ben Shlita. He wrote Yosef ben Shimon Shlita.
No, Yosef Shlita ben Shimon Oliver Shalom.
All of Asholem. Okay, he didn't have to write that. We'll talk about the Shlita.
If Shimon is not the letter.
Okay, well, yes. He could have still written Yosef Shimon Ben Shlita. If we talk about the Yosef, you say, if the Beis Yosef was right, that the Yosef is the operative name, the Yosef is the one I'm giving my brocha to, then he could have written Yosef Shlita Ben Shimon. Whereas he wrote Yosef Ben Shimon Shlita, therefore it was the Shimon, right? Now, I've got it here, I don't know if it'll help anybody to remember, but basically, yeah, the Beis Yosef holds that it's the Yosef that we're talking about, and the Rama holds that it's the Shimon that the Shlita goes on. The Shach brings down a Tshuvas Bahar Nach, who brings an example for which we didn't have an answer, which Rabbi Avrami actually didn't have an answer. Said the Pasuk says, David ben Yishai Melech Yisrael. Yeah, we say David ben Yishai Avdecho Mishchecho. Okay, so the Avdecho could go on either of them, either on the David or on the Yishai. But Mishchecho clearly goes on the David. So that's much more like the Beis Yosef. Yeah, that we're going on the first name. David ben Yishai Melech Yisrael. Yishai was never Melech Yisrael. David was the Melech Yisrael. So that would go like the Beis Yosef and Charlie Bloom. Yeah? And then what's it called, brought another raya. The Manach also brought another raya to the Beis Yosef. And that one is one that Reb Avrami said, is the Chor Yishveh on the Rimo. And that is, there's a pasuk in Parshas Ma'aloskva that says, Vayomer Moshe, the Moshe spoke L'Choivov, to Choivov, we know is Yisroi, Ben Reuel, the son of Reuel, who was the father of Yisroi, Choisein Moshe. So you've got Choivov, Ben Reuel, Choisein Moshe. He said, Oysem, Anachnu, we're going to Yisroel, we want you to come with us. So the Choyer is quite clear when it says Choivov, Ben Reuel, Choisein Moshe, that Yosef was speaking to Yisroi, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Yisroi, who is called Choivov. So therefore, Choivov ben Reuel, Choisein Moshe, the Choisein Moshe goes, the father-in-law of Moshe, goes on the first name. Like Yosef ben Shimon, Shlita goes on the Yosef. Who are then, the Choisein Moshe goes on Choivov. It goes on Yisroi, who was the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Reuel was also one of the names of Yisroi.
Correct. Okay, fine, we'll go a bit further than that. We'll go a bit further than Rashi. So he left that as a Betorah Chiyon on the Ramor. How can the Ramor say that the description goes on the second name? You've got clearly here that Moshe spoke to Yisro, yeah, to Choivov, Ben Reuel, Hamidyonik, Choisein Moshe. The Choisein Moshe goes on the first name and not on the second name. He left that Betorah Chiyon. But I found in the Ibn Ezra that the Ibn Ezra says something very interesting. The Ibn Ezra says as follows, that Reuel was a grandfather. Let's start with the top. At the top of the line, you've got Reuel being the grandfather, the father of Yisroi. Rashi says Yisroi had seven names, right? Amongst them was Yisroi, and Reuel, and Choivov. Okay? So here's Reuel at the top. You've got Yisroi, Reuel, Choivov. That's one person in the box. He has three names. I've only given you three of the names. He had four other names as well. He had seven daughters, amongst whom was Tzipporah, who married Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Ibn Ezra, he also had a son who he called Choivov. In other words, same way that Reuel had a son called Reuel, so similarly Choivov, who is also Yisro, who is Reuel, called his son Choivov. So we know he had seven daughters. He had six daughters plus Tzipporah that we know about. And the Ibn Ezra brings down that he had a son called Choivov as well. According to the Ibn Ezra, you can learn like the Rebbe. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe said to Choivov, that's this Choivov, the grandson, if you like, Ben Reuel, Choisein Moshe, the son of Reuel, who is Choisein Moshe. In which case now, Choisein Moshe is going on the second name, on the Reuel.
So why did Moshe speak to Choivov?
Pardon?
Why did he talk to the grandson?
Because he goes there, it all goes as follows. Because in Parshas Yisro, it says, Vayelech lo el arsoi, that Yisro went back. The question is, did he come back afterwards or not? So some learned that he only went back in order to be Megaya, the rest of the family, and he brought them back and he joined Klal Yisrael. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said to him later on, please stay with us. Others learn that he never came back. He stayed in Midian. And Choivov, his son, stayed with Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu would now be speaking to Choivov and saying, hang on with us and come to Eretz Yisrael with us. There's a whole discussion about exactly when the Parsha of Yisro happened.
Choivov wasn't the advisor.
Was? We don't know. I don't know what his status was. But I'm quoting you, the Ibn Ezra. So according to the Ibn Ezra, we do have a possibility of learning this posuk according to the Ramot as well. Fine. So that's maybe one ha'ora on Rav Avrumi's shir, that the kasha that he left us as to how you could learn that posuk. Let's look at another posuk. I came across another posuk in Parsha Shmos. In Parsha Shmos, it says that a delegation approached Paroi. At the end of Parsha Shmos, a delegation of Yidden approached Paroi, and they said, the work is too difficult, it's an impossible situation, we can't produce the amount that you want, you have to make it easier for the Bnei Yisrael. And Paroi rejected their thing, and he said, Adarabba, he said, you're lazy, and you're busy talking about leaving the country, etc. Tichbat ha'avoida, I'm going to make it even more difficult, I'm not going to supply the thing. And therefore the delegation came out not only with being unsuccessful in appealing for leniency, but they came out that things were even worse. And then the pasuk says, "Vayifkeu es Moshe ves Aaron nitovim likrosom." But say some is Paroi that when they came out, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were outside, and this delegation met Moshe and Aaron, and then the delegation attacked Moshe and Aaron and said, "You've made things even worse for us. From the time that you got involved, things have become worse for us with Paroi. It's all your fault." So Rashi brings down two pshat in there. Rashi brings down pshat number one. Rashi says, "Shehoyo Moshe ve'Aaron nitzovim likrosom." In other words, the question is as follows, and I'm now going to interpret the two pshat of Rashi, and then Rashi brings another Rabbi Seyna Dorshu. I'm going to interpret the two pshat of Rashi according to our shaila. When it says nitzovim likrosom, they were standing up to meet them. Are we talking about Moshe and Aaron when it's of him to cross them? Or are we talking about Vayivku, Rashi brings down, fills in the gap, Vayivku v'nei Yisrael, that the B'nai Yisrael, the delegation that came out of the palace of Paroi, met Moshe and Aaron, Nitzovim Likrosom. So who were the Nitzovim Likrosom, the people who were standing up to meet them? It's pshat that the delegation was standing and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were approaching, or it's pshat that Moshe and Aaron were standing and the delegation was approaching them. So Rashi brings down pshat number one, Shehoyo Moshe v'Aaron Nitzovim Likrosom. Now, as Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are the Nitzovim Likrosom, they're the ones who were standing outside, almost like waiting for the delegation to come out, and it's the Bnei Yisrael that came out and approached them. Rabbi Seyna Dorshu, Shehoyu Bnei Yisrael Nitzovim Likrosom. And Rashi brings down, because our good friends Dosan and Aviram were amongst them, and it says, V'dosan Aviram Yotsu Nitzovim, because it says Nitzovim, therefore we know that Dosan Aviram, in other words, it was Dosan and Aviram who were Nitzovim Likrosom, who came out of the palace and stood there like this, and waited for Moshe Aaron to approach. So here you've got, the two Pshatim and Rashi could fit in according to the Ramor and the Beis Yosef. According to Rashi, according to the Beis Yosef, who says that the description of Nitzovim Likrosom will go on the first, that it will go in Vayivku as Moshe v'Aaron, that when the Bnei Yisrael came out, it goes on the Bnei Yisrael. They were the ones who were in the Sovereign Likrosom. According to the Ramah, who says that we follow the second one, that it says Vayivku Bnei Yisrael es Moshe v'Aaron Nitzovim Likrosom, that the Nitzovim Likrosom goes on Moshe and Aaron. They were the ones who were standing and thing of. So according to this machlokas of the Ramah and the way we understand it, the Ramah Beis Yosef, in Hilchas Avor, we can also understand why Rashi has to bring two pshatim. One pshat is that Nitzovim Likrosom is going on the Bnei Yisrael, and Moshe and Aaron are the ones who are approaching. The other one says that Nitzovim Likrosom is going to go on Moshe and Aaron, and it's the Bnei Yisrael who are coming out of the delegation as a delegation, and they're approaching. So that is another case where we found in Parsha Shmos that you could interpret the pasuk two ways, and Rashi is therefore bringing down two pshatim.
Not comparable.
Doesn't make a difference. Names. You've got two names. You've got the Bnei Yisrael first coming out, and then Moshe and Aaron. And the Nitzovim Likrosom could go on either the Bnei Yisrael or on the Nitzovim Likrosom. Okay, let's have another one. Let's have another quick look. We've got two more to look at. Sorry, look at that one afterwards. I haven't got that one. Okay, one that we looked at together, we learned together. The Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Nefilas Apayim, question of whether or not, we discussed this 2 weeks ago, whether or not you have to say Tachnun on Erev Tu Bishvat. Yeah? So there you've got exactly the same thing. The Mechaber says, no gush lo lich l'apadehim, that there's no Tachnun on Tu B'Av, and no Tachnun on Tu Bishvat, v'loi b'mincha shalafonov, and not on the mincha before them. Oh, sorry, v'loi b'Rosh Chodesh, sorry, three of them, yeah? Tu B'Av, Tu Bishvat, and Rosh Chodesh, v'loi b'mincha shalafonov. So now our question is, the Oilas Tomit, the Mishnah Berurah brings down B'Shem, the Oilas Tomit, that the Mechaber holds that you only don't say Tachnun on Erev Rosh Chodesh, but on Erev Tu B'Av, on the Erev Tu Bishvat, you do say Tachnun. And our minhag is that we don't say Tachnun on Erev Tu B'Av and on Erev Tu Bishvat and on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Yeah. So, and we explained it. We explained the svara behind it. The Prima Godin brings down, it's brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos. He brings down that the svara behind it is whether or not we treat every day as a yontif, and because it's a yontif, we need to prepare ourselves, or we only don't say Tachnun on Erev of a day where we're going to change the Askora, we're going to change the davening tonight. It's an alert that we don't say Tachnun this afternoon because we're going to say tonight Yalav Yovoi. So therefore, that's the difference between the two shittas as to whether or not we do or don't.
But the wording is...
But v'loi b'mincha shalafonov... It could have said shalai b'mincha shalifneihem. It's true. But nevertheless, you could interpret it either way. It's possible you could learn it either way. You could say that according to the Beis Yosef it goes on... You could say that according to the one shitta, v'loi b'mincha shalafonov goes right on the beginning. And then, and Lav Dafka on the thing, but that would be difficult, because then, what about Erev Rosh Chodesh? Erev Rosh Chodesh is the one that I'm not referring to. Also, it would be a steer in the Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef is the one who's writing this. And Verloib and Michal Shalafonov, he holds actually the last one. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh that I don't say Tachnun, and in fact, the Beis Yosef shita was that it was the first one that I should be referring to. So if I was going to use that as a raya, it might be a little bit steer in the Beis Yosef. I want to come out with one final thing, because I've got a couple of minutes later left, and I think this is a very, very interesting machshava. Parshas Peshalach. It says that the bond fell for the first time on Sunday night. The bond fell for the whole of the week. Nobody left anything over overnight. On Thursday night, Dosan and Aviram, again Dosan and Aviram, they left mon over overnight. By Yosir Mimenu Ad Boike, by Yoram Toiloim by Yivash, and the mon became wormy, and it stank, it became putrid. By Yiktsef Alei Moshe, and Moshe became annoyed with them. We can clear our Shaila now again. By Yiktsef Alei Moshe, Moshe became annoyed with them. Was Moshe annoyed with Dosan and Aviram, and the Shim who left over the mon? Or was Moshe annoyed with the worms that rotted the food? Now, why would Moshe Rabbeinu be annoyed with the worms? So, I'm going to give you two pshat here. One pshat is that I see you could interpret, although you don't have to interpret it, the Yalkut Me'amloyes, that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was simply upset that something as holy and as lofty and as sublime as Lechem Min HaShemayim had been degraded and had been insulted by becoming wormy. Right? The very fact that the mon had become putrid and it stank and it become wormy, that itself upset Moshe Rabbeinu. You could say Veikzef Alei Moshe goes on that. You could learn that in the what's called. But I had a discussion with my son Avrumi when he was in yeshiva. He came up with a very, very interesting pshat. I think it's a brilliant pshat, and I think it fits in very well with us as to why you could say on the one side that Veikzef Alei Moshe goes on the worms. It doesn't say anywhere when Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael on Sunday night that the mon is going to fall tomorrow morning, and from Sunday until Thursday night, it doesn't say anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu warned them what would happen to the mon if you leave it overnight. He didn't say to them, if you leave it overnight, it will become wormy. He told them, the Rebbeinu said, eat all the mon today, whatever's left over put out in the fields, go to bed with an empty cupboard, nothing for breakfast, and rely entirely on the fact that tomorrow morning the Rebbeinu Shlom will send you some fresh mon. And therefore everybody, when they went to bed every night that week, they knew that they could possibly save up something for tomorrow morning just in case. They could keep something in the fridge, something in the cupboard overnight, so that the family will have something to eat tomorrow morning. But the Rebbeinu Shlom said, don't. And therefore they didn't. Not one person in the whole of Klal Yisrael, 3 million people, they didn't leave anything over every single night from Sunday night till Thursday night, simply because the Rebbeinu Shlom said so, although, Ladatom, the mon would have survived for breakfast. they would have had what to eat tomorrow, and therefore it would have made sense to keep something. They got young children, etc. They fulfilled the command of the Rabbein Shalom. They got a moyudik and zechus for that. The Rabbein Shalom looked at the Tal Yisrael every night and said, amazing. Now, on Thursday night, when Dos Laviyom left them on overnight, and it became putrid, and it went wormy, so that by the morning there was nothing to eat anyway, suddenly Klal Yisrael become aware that there's no point in keeping it overnight. Everything's changed now. Till now we thought we were doing a big mitzvah, not leaving it overnight. Now we see there's no point in leaving it overnight, because if we leave it overnight, it's all going to go bad. And therefore, now, if on the next night they were not to leave overnight, they wouldn't get any schar for it. Why should they get schar? It's going to go bad anyway. There's no point in keeping it. Therefore, Vayikzev Aleha Moshe. Moshe became annoyed with the fact that the mon went wormy. He became annoyed with the fact that the mon went putrid and got destroyed. Because now Klal Yisrael lost all their zechus. Klal Yisrael lost their zechus of their betochen in not leaving it overnight. Till now, every night they got a gewaldige zechus. You could have left overnight. You listened to the Rabbi Yisrael. You left nothing overnight. Gewaldig. Rabbi Yisrael chalking up huge zechus for Klal Yisrael. And now, from now onwards, no longer, because there's no point in keeping it overnight. What's the point? So therefore, there's no schus, and there's no mitzvah. There's a mitzvah not to leave it overnight, but there's no point in keeping it anyway. Therefore, there's no nisoyin. And therefore, Vayikzev Aleha Moshe, we could learn that Vayikzev Aleha Moshe doesn't go on the beginning of the Pasuk, on Dos Laviyom, but it goes out that he was annoyed about, Alehem would be about, the worms, the fact that it became wormy, that now disclosed to Klal Yisrael that there was no point in keeping it overnight, and Klal Yisrael lost that great zechus, which they got back the next night. Because the next night was Friday night, and tonight Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, tonight you keep it overnight. And they turn around, but it's going to go wormy. Trust me, it won't. So again, the following night now, they could get their schus back again, because they trusted the Moshe Rabbeinu and they did keep overnight. And therefore the Rabbeinu gave them the opportunity to chat back up his schus.